Father Evans had a touch of the fluence this week, which allowed me to celebrate all four masses of Ash Wednesday. It was a long day, but it was really a great one. It was fun to see everybody come to Mass that day. If you missed it, or if you went to Mass downtown or another parish, I offered an image to everybody. And I want to just review it quickly and introduce it to those who weren't here, because it's really an introduction into these readings as well. I said, imagine renovating a house, tearing out all the interior walls, the ceiling, the floor, stripping everything bare down to the studs, to the wood beams, upstairs and down. And I said, imagine going downstairs and even tearing everything back to the foundation. Those who do that might find a foundation that's cracked, maybe one that's deteriorating somewhere, something in need of repair, because if we don't repair it, all the redecorating and renovating will be for nothing. Eventually, it'll collapse within itself. And then I said, Lent is the opportunity to do the same thing with our lives. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit, as am I. And this is a great opportunity for us to be willing to do a renovation, to take a look at the very foundation of our life. You see, if we don't stand for Jesus, we are going to fall for anything. As we kind of strip things away, we might uncover and expose weaknesses in our life. We might see damage that our actions have done to ourselves or others. We might experience some deterioration or see some deterioration in our spiritual life. And if you see that, don't be afraid of it. Some like to blame others. Some like to rationalize. Some like to medicate our weaknesses, what's deteriorating. You don't have to do that. You see, the Lord loves it and sees it and loves it, sees you and me and loves us as we are, but he also loves us too much to leave us there. Repairing and letting the Lord repair and restore us is what Lent is all about. God's grace always builds on our human nature. So if we let him, he will repair and restore us. In fact, that's going to be the invitation for the whole Lenten season. This week he's going to say, will you go out into the desert with me? Next week he's saying, once we're there, I'm going to give you a taste of the kingdom. The week following that, he's going to come back and he's going to say, now it's time to clean the house. Clean it and get it ready. Because following that following week, we'll experience the depth of God's love. And then what Jesus will call the coming of his hour. That's the Lenten journey. That's the invitation. If we but allow him to see our weaknesses, if we expose them to him and what's deteriorating and what's cracked. You see, the Lord's been repairing all throughout salvation history. We can look at that first reading, the story of the flood. And there's two things going on, actions and words and values that human beings are living by. And then the actions of our Lord. During Noah's time, and actually before Noah's time, creation had forgotten the Creator. People had forgotten the Lord. Adam and Eve sin, and they're kicked out of the garden, and they pass on that sin to their kids. Cain hates Abel. Cain kills Abel. Evil and violence just start growing like a cancer that's untreated and unchecked. And it got worse and worse and worse. People, in the absence of living with God, started living very selfish lives. They started living unloving lives. Maybe their spouse and their kids and their family and their kids' friends. But not many more than that. It got really bad. So bad, the father had three options. One, he could have just destroyed it. And the author of Genesis said he thought about that. Our God thought about decreating the world. The other option is he could have let us destroy ourselves and left to our own motives and behaviors and values, we would destroy ourselves. Or thirdly, he could have intervened, exposed evil for what it was, and then begin to replace it with his love, his mercy, and rebuild a nation. And that was his option. His option was to intervene, expose evil for what it was, let it destroy itself, and then rebuild it. Noah and his family build and enter an ark, 40 days and 40 nights of rain, and creation is destroyed and then restored, rebuilt. God set in motion something that we'll hear over and over again this Lenten season, a movement from death to life. A movement from death to life. Jesus will show us that on the cross and on the resurrection. But this is the intervention tonight. And it's not the last one. The Lord starts to restore and rebuild, and life starts going well. And guess what happens? People forget about the Lord again. They fall into sin again. They fall into unloving again. That's the whole history of salvation, both for individuals and for societies. But when it happens, the Lord follows the same pattern. He exposes evil for what it is. And when he exposes evil, it loses its power. And then he restores and rebuilds. People will walk away from the Lord. The Lord doesn't walk away from us. Societies will begin to be unloving toward others. But God will always love us. He'll establish another covenant with Abraham, and then another covenant with Moses, and then another covenant with David. And then finally, Jesus will establish the new and everlasting covenant. And at every covenant, God's restoring, rebuilding, and deepening his love for us. Jesus finished it off by walking into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus is tempted by the same weaknesses we fall to. And he's tempted constantly. And guess what? He destroys evil. Evil thinks it wins, especially on Good Friday about 3:00 when our Lord breathes his final breath. Evil thinks it's won. But oh, how evil was to learn how wrong it was. The Lord won. But it started in that journey into the desert where Jesus was tempted by Satan over and over again. He never fell to it. And so his grace, his love, will prevent us from ultimately falling to evil if we let him, if we welcome him in. If we take the evil, the weakness, the sin of our life and bring it to light, again, evil always loses its power once it comes to light. There are all kinds of examples of that throughout human history. Evil loses its power when it comes to light. And we need that. We need that to happen. Our country was bombarded by evil again this week. The evil of gun violence in another school. And I'm glad to hear the voices of young people in Florida saying enough is enough. Let's quit talking about it and let's do something about it. There was a reporter on CBS News after the last gun shooting. He went and reported, and his name is Steve Hartman, and he always has the last 2 minutes of the evening news from CBS. His job is to give a story that we enter the weekend feeling good. And at the last shooting in Las Vegas, he said, I don't have anything to give you. Just somebody, do something. Try something. You see, evil has come and it's raised up. And now the opportunity for a lot of people in a lot of disciplines in our life to try something, to try and defeat it fully, not just talk and do nothing. The Me Too movement. One of the beautiful things about the Me Too movement is the silence and the secrecy of abuse has now come to light, and abuse is losing its power. We're going back to recognizing that everyone is a child of God and deserves the utmost dignity and respect, physically, spiritually, relationally, emotionally, intellectually, every fabric of our being. Oh, how good that is. How good that is. And we're not done with either one yet. There's more to do. But grace builds on our willingness to let the Lord repair and restore the evil we do and the evil that bombards us. The question for you and me is, can we trust Him? Can we trust Him with our own lives? Can we trust Him to do in our lives what He's done throughout salvation history? Can we bring our mistakes to the light of God's love and let His mercy touch them? Can we take those areas of our life where we experience guilt? Guilt, which is the gift that tells us something's not right. And the Lord wants to set it right again. And He'll set it right with His mercy. And with His mercy, we are changed, and a society has changed. Years ago, many, many years ago, there was a man who worked for Ford Motor Company in Detroit. He was a factory worker, a non-believer, just went to work every day and earned a living for his family. But every night on evenings on a regular basis as he was leaving the plant, he'd take with him a tool that he could use at home or maybe a part for his Ford that needed repairs of some kind. He was stealing and did it regularly, just real slyly that nobody knew about it. Well, some Christian introduced him to the Lord. And that introduction to the Lord led him to the church. And one holy Saturday night, he joined the church. He was baptized, received Eucharist and confirmation for the first time. And his life slowly started to turn around. He took that baptism seriously. He took that renewed commitment to Jesus seriously. So seriously, as he looked at his life and looked in his garage, he said, there's a lot of things here that don't belong to me. He started returning them. And each day he'd put a few more things in his truck. He drove to the plant, found the foreman, and explained to the foreman that he was returning things he had borrowed or actually had taken. And the foreman asked why. And he told them, I've met Jesus Christ. I've joined the church. My life is different, and I'm repairing and restoring parts of my life that need repairing and restoring. The foreman got in contact with Henry Ford and told Henry Ford what was happening. Henry Ford heard the foreman's story, and he said, all this happened because he was baptized? The foreman said, yeah. And Henry said, well, let's do this. Can somebody go out to the Detroit River and just stop it for a while, build a dam, and let's baptize all the employees? Point is, one change, one conversion, one repairing can begin a movement of doing the same. That's the Lord's invitation. And through it, the Lord rebuilds and restores and renovates. So let's pray for the grace to invite him in to those dark and secret areas if we have them. Let the evil we've experienced come to light. Let it lose its power, and let the light of God's love and mercy reign evermore.